Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways again tonight to bring unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then be able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. And I just thank those of you that were able to tune in tonight. I know tonight might be family night. Mike went out for to have dinner tonight, on tonight. Or Mike went to check out a movie. Whatever your itinerary consists of, I just thank you for just being so gracious to join in the program on tonight. I just thank you, and God has a blessing engraved with your name on it, and I just thank you. And right now, we're going to take the stage, and we're going to acknowledge those of you that have lost loved ones during the last 72 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. You might have lost a spouse, or you lost a cousin, a sister, a brother, aunt, uncle, grandparents, colleague, doctor, maybe a lawyer, maybe your stockholder, whoever the person might be. We just want to kind of touch a few bases on, on the loss of the individual that has left out of your life. And we know that the light now has went dim, but we know that God is able to bring unto you, to restore that joy that you once had, and to bring about restoration as only God can do. And we just hope and pray that God will just hold you in his arms, hallelujah, and just make you whole once again. And so we're going to right now give God all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. All right, we're going to go right now into our intro prayer. We come across these airways each time that we come across. We acknowledge and we reverence our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. He's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. And so we want to acknowledge him at this time, and I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference God, our Lord and Savior, our soon coming Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hallelujah. And so I'm asking you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference God right now. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity once again, God. For we're coming from the north, south, east, and west, God. For we know that this earthly soil, God, is not our permanent home, but you have lying in reserve a home that's not built by the mortal man, but you are its builder, you are its crafter, you are the architect, you are the chief cornerstone, God. And until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land, God. And I'm asking you on tonight, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the parts of their iniquity. Father God, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the pit of their souls. Father God, we want to take you in the glory. God, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praises, God. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And like I first stated, I just thank you so kindly for your patronage on tonight. And God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. All you got to do is just keep your eyes open, because we never know how God is going to deliver our package. But we know that God is going to bless you, because he said in his word that he loves a cheerful giver. And so I will be with you tonight, 45 minutes on the clock. And we know that time now is of an essence. And so if you want to call into the station, if you have any testimony of miracles that God has performed in your life, maybe that you weren't able to conceive and have a child, but now you have been given a pregnancy test and it has come out positive, and so now you will be a new mother soon. And if you were looking for a husband and you've been searching and searching, and finally God just mated you up with the right man of God that love God and love you, and so you're just happy about it, then we welcome your testimony. If you've had a job increased on your job, and you want to tell us about it, we welcome your testimony here on the program. And if you have any prayer petitions, you're eagerly to call in at the conclusion of this program. All right, well, we're going to go now on into a program that's already, hallelujah, in progress. And our sermon on tonight entitled, My Grace is Sufficient for Thee. I want to say that one more time. My grace, that's God's grace. You're talking about God's amazing grace. So the title sermon tonight is My Grace is Sufficient for Thee. Hallelujah. And we're going to take one of our scripture reading of the law of Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And we're going to take our second key scripture, and it reads like this. It says, hallelujah, that grow in grace. That scripture reading is found in the law of 2 Peter 3 and 18. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you on tonight. I'm not going to preach hard. I just want to kind of talk to you and encourage you on this evening, because we know that we're going through a lot of things. A lot of us is going through different trials. None of us, however, has the same itinerary. We have the same trial and the same tribulations. They might sound alike, but in the retrospective, we have different trials that we encounter. And so I just want to kind of talk to your heart on tonight, to encourage your heart, to just let you know that you're not alone. It might seem like you're alone, but you're not alone. I want you to know that. And, you know, when you look back and you only saw that there was one set of footprints, that's when Jesus carried you. So you don't have any reason to feel like you're alone, because you have this great, big, old, powerful God that sits up in the heavenly throne and he looks down on his creation, and that's you and I. You know, our family might forsake us. A husband and wife may go off and leave the mother and the children to fend for themselves. You know, our siblings can just write us off and say, you know, you owed me $10 and you never paid me yet. So, you know, what I want you to do, I just, you know, my kids and your kids, you know, they're not going to have anything to do with one another. and if the kids wasn't even in the equation, but, you know, your family members can write you off like a bad check and tell you, you know, never darken my door again. And your mothers, your fathers, and your mother can tell you, son, you're no good. Don't come back in my face again, you know. But we know that there is one God. He's a spiritual deity, and he's our Lord and Savior. He's our soon-coming Messiah, and he's one that will never leave you and I. We have that covenant with God that he would never leave us, and he would never forsake us, but he would be with us to the end of the earth. And I want you and you and you to be encouraged on tonight. Be encouraged, my sisters. Be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, young people. Be encouraged, you know, the teens and the preteens that's going to school, in elementary school, in junior high. We know that you're encountering a lot. You have a lot on your plate. You that's going into the first year of college. Some of you that's going into universities. We know that you have a full plate on your hand, you know, and so we just want to encourage you tonight to just keep holding on, keep your hand in God's hand, because God is going to lead you to safety. Hallelujah. And so we know that, hallelujah, there is a clear illustration of the biblical concept of reconciliation, and we know that it is found in the story of Jacob and Esau. And you might say, well, now, who was Jacob and Esau? Jacob and Esau was two brothers who had been separated for more than 18 years. And Esau was very angry because Jacob had stole his birthright and blessings. And in a fit of anger, he vowed, hallelujah, to kill his deceitful brother. But he was recognizing the crisis caused by his craftiness. Jacob fled to avoid his brother's wrath. And as a result, Jacob and Esau was estranged, separated, and alienated, allowing bitterness, hatred, and ill will to fester between them. But we can go into the law of Genesis 33, and we see the process of reconciliation dramatically played out here. We see Jacob, and we see Esau. We see that they have come together again as brothers. Hallelujah. We see Jacob had been instructed by God to return to his home. But as he approached his home, Esau came to meet him with 400 armed men. And Jacob was frightened and fearful that Esau would do him bodily harm. But instead, we find out that Esau ran to meet Jacob, embraced him and kissed him and wept also. And Esau had forgiven Jacob, who responded to the gracious act in gratitude and in thanksgiving. And this reminds me of a recent experience, hallelujah, that, you know, we have in this life with our loved ones and those at our workplace and our siblings and our kin people and people as a whole, you know, in this life. We will go through, you know, it being angry with a family member, you know, and that can fester and it can build up over time. You know, you can let 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years come between you. You say, well, I'm not going to ever speak to him again. I'm not going to ever speak to her again. But see, the thing of it is we've got to let grace abound. We got to let grace come in. And we have to forgive. We don't necessarily have to forget, but God wants us to forgive, and put those things behind us, and we got to move forward. Because if not, then we can't grow in God. That will stunt you and I growth in God. Hallelujah. Because of the tension in our relationship with our loved ones. You know, you can be in awe with a family member, you know, for a long time. And then all of a sudden, you know, you might have an event that take place, maybe a family reunion or something, you know. Or maybe sometime it brings us together in a funeral, sad to say, but a lot of times that bring us together. And then you can, you know, sell your differences right there because you've already accumulated years in the midst of that strife, but you've got to do away with it. And then you put it behind you, then you can reconcile your lives together with that family member, that aunt or uncle or grandparents or that mother or dad or the grandparents or maybe that wayward son or daughter, you know, that niece or nephew or cousin, you know, or whomever it might be. There is a breaking point to where you can begin again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that this is the essence of biblical reconciliation, turning toward and not away from one another. Hallelujah. And in fact, this is what God did through the sacrificial death of Christ at Calvary. We find out that God turned toward us and not away from us. And he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That scripture reading is found in the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 through 19. And our prayer would be on tonight. Lord, I thank you for the gift of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know that we're talking about my grace is sufficient for thee. And we know that God's grace is sufficient. You know, God can carry us when we seem like we've come to the end of life's journey. We want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. I want to encourage you tonight to hold on to your rope. And your rope is your faith. Your faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we know that if we got that grace, we know that that grace is going to carry us, and we know that that grace is sufficient for you and I. Hallelujah. And we know that when families sit around a dinner table and they bow their heads and they touch hands in an act of prayer, we call it saving grace. We know that the word grace sometimes describes someone's personal charm or a courteous manner. Hallelujah. And we know that there is also a grace period. Hallelujah. And it is the extension of a deadline to pay a debt or some other legal obligations. And we know that in the Christian uses, however, grace expresses one of the church's most distinctive, hallelujah, and an important doctrine. Paul's personal religious awakening produces in him an understanding of this extraordinary gift of God. We know that God still seeks sinners on the Damascus Road. He is not waiting for us to seek him out. God reaches way down to us and sent us, hallelujah, to redeem us back unto himself. And he's preparing us to respond to his divine love, hallelujah. We know that the conscience of his guilt and unworthiness, hallelujah, Paul realized that God's gift of forgiveness was a total undeserved blessing, hallelujah. But you know what? He used the word grace to express his newfound understanding of the nature of God's grace. And it is the expressions of the essence of God, whose very being is love. We know that God's grace, it enables you and I to bear what we could not otherwise bear and to do what we could not otherwise do. And we find out that Paul, hallelujah, he had a physical ailment that at times seemed unbearable. Many of his prayers for healing seemed to go unheard by God. After three long prayer sessions, it still lingered on. Then he heard the voice of God say, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's in verse 9. And as Paul's strength was made perfect in weakness, so can yours and mine. So I would encourage you tonight to let this truth remind us to heed to the biblical admonition to grow in grace. And that scripture reading is found in the law of 2 Peter 3:18. We are to grow until we overcome self, hallelujah, settledness. We are to grow in grace until our problems seem as though they were nothing in the light of God's love, hallelujah. We are to grow in grace, meaning that we perceive that God is greater. This is what I want you to take to heart. I want you to put this in your mindset. And take this to heart. Put this in the corners of your heart that God is greater than anything that you and I might face in this world. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. So I want you to be encouraged to know that you can count it all joy because you have that grace that is sufficient. You might say sufficient for what, overseer? What? It is sufficient to take you, like the word say, take you to heights unknown, to places that otherwise you wouldn't be able to go. But by God's grace, you're able to go far and beyond what you thought you ever could encounter. That's what God's grace does for you and I. And we know that more than ever, we live in a disposable culture. Just think for a minute about some of the things that are made to be thrown away. This is everyday usage that you and I come in contact with, such as razors and water bottles and lighters, paper plates, plastic eating utensils. We know that our products are used and then tossed, and then they are recycled, they are replaced. We know that this disposable culture is also reflected in more significant ways. But many times, we know that true commitment in relationships seems as optional. We find out that we have marriages that are struggling to survive. We also have long-term employees that are discharged just before retirement for cheaper options. We know that there's a highly referenced athlete that he leaves to join another team. It seems as if nothing lasts. We know that our unchanging God, however, has promised that his love and mercy endures forever. In the Psalms 136, we know, hallelujah, that we know he makes this statement that God wonder works and character, hallelujah. He then punctuates each statement about God with the phrase, for his mercy. Did you know that God's mercy endures forever? Whether it is the wonder of his creation, the rescue of his people, or the tender care of his own, we can trust him because his mercy will never fail. We know, hallelujah, in a temporary world, we know that the permanences of God's mercy, it gives us hope, hallelujah, and we can sing like the psalmist. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that God's grace is immeasurable. His mercy is exaltable, and his peace is inexpressible. Hallelujah. You can go on through your trial, your tribulation, with confidence that you have God's grace, and God's grace is sufficient for thee. Ain't a devil in hell outside of hell that can stop you, may slow you down, they can't block you. Hallelujah. Because guess what? You have God's grace. And God's grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. And I'm reminded of a story about a flashing light of a police car. And there was a motorist who had been pulled over for a traffic violation. And I'm told as the officer ticket book in hand, he walked back to his car. And the person that was in the car seemed to be embarrassed and was sitting there helpless behind the wheel of his car with their hands attempted to block their face from the view of the passerbyers, hoping to hide their identity. Hallelujah. But we know that their actions are a reminder of how embarrassing it can be when we are exposed by our choices and our consequences. Hallelujah. And then we're told that, thank you, Jesus, when a guilty woman was brought before Jesus and her immortality was exposed, we found out that the crowd did more than just watch, but they called for her condemnation. But we find out that it's not over till God says over. God said that my grace is sufficient for thee. This is our sermon on tonight. God's grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that Jesus, hallelujah, showed mercy. Hallelujah, the only one with the right to judge sin, responded to her failures with compassion. After dispatching her accuser, Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 8:11. And we know that Jesus, his compassion reminds us of his forgiving grace. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Is my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you, you, and you. My grace is sufficient for any trial and tribulation that we're going through, any divorce that you might be encountering, any lawsuit that you might be encountering, any setback in finances that you might be encountering. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You might have had a miscarriage and you don't know how you're going to adapt, but we know that God's grace is sufficient. You might have a divorce decree that has come in the mail by certified mail, but we know that God's grace is sufficient for thee. For God can turn it around. And God can turn it in your, what the devil meant for your evil, God can turn it around for your and our good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so, like I said, you might have been given a pink slip. You've been laid off. And you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know how you're going to pay that PG&E bill or that utility bill. You don't know how you're going to pay your other bills. You don't know how you're going to pay insurance. You don't know how you're going to pay that college tuition for your son. You don't know how you're going to pay that daycare fee. You don't know how you're going to pay that doctor fee. But whatever you encounter, I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight. That my grace is sufficient for thee. That's our sermon on tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we are told that God, his compassion remind you and I of his forgiving grace. And his command again to her points to his great desire that we live in the joy of that grace. We know that both elements shows the depths of Christ's concern for you and I. When we stumble and fall, even our most embarrassing moments of failure, we can cry out to him and find that his grace is truly amazing. We find out that his grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. And we know that there's a song, and we sing it in the hymn book, and it goes a little like this. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we also know that Jesus is the only one. He's the only true deity, spiritual deity, that can supply the grace we need for each trial that you and I face. So I want you to be encouraged on tonight. Be encouraged, because God is right there by your side. He's walking pace by pace, step by step, footprint by footprint. And when you saw only one set of footprints, that's when Jesus literally picked you up and carried you. And we're theme on tonight is my grace is sufficient for thee. I want you to be encouraged tonight and just know that Jesus is with you every step of your journey, every step of your trial, every step of your setback. Hallelujah. We know that God is going to have the last laugh. Hallelujah. God is going to triumph you, and you will make the finish line of your trial. You're going to come through in blue colors, full circle. Hallelujah. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. And we're going to bring right now some hymns of inspiration, hymns of encouragement, to encourage your heart and your spirit on tonight. And so we're going to bring these selections, and at the conclusion of these selections, we'll bring our program to its end. Until we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Listen up, if you will, and be ye encouraged.
Anybody, if you believe that the thing that was worrying you, it's not going to worry you anymore. You believe Isaiah 26:3 that he'll keep you in perfect peace. If you keep your mind staying on him, that's what we're going to do. We're going to call him again. And this time, we're going to call him out of gratitude. We're going to call him in an effort to say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Come on, lift your hands, open your mouth and just say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. I want you to do something right quick, and I'm going to leave it alone. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say, in my life, I've been up and I've been down. But say, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my situation, look at them real good and say, in spite of what I'm going through right now, say, when I look back over my life, and you see how far God brought me down, I can't do nothing but thank the Lord.
Thank you. Every time we cry.